So today's message is really starting a mini-series on, but the theme is The Kingdom, Then You in 2022. You can see our logo that's up there. Thank you for our very capable artist, Lacey Garcia. Put that together. You'll see that. I hope that you even have your bulletin. We have our simple notes as well, if you'll take a look at that and see a little bit of the definition that's there. But let's look for just a moment here before I explain that. What is important is that the kingdom then, see the word then you. We're taking a look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 is our theme scripture. And we're going to be addressing that, how that God encourages us to seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. So our goal this year is let's put God and his things first before we go after our things first. And let's do a little time test and see how God actually distributes to our own life when we give time for him first. That's pretty much it. We'll pound that around, shake it up, talk about that. But let's do a little time travel, shall we? Because many of you may not have been around when Ainsley and I, and she's over at the Kids Cove right now teaching, so that cute Ainsley. I see her, she just loves your children. But I would just say for a moment, it's interesting, when we came in 2002, Ainsley and our three children moved into the parsonage, it's now the Cove, said, Lord, what are you going to be doing here at Hope Chapel? Could you give us a little direction? Because each thing kind of happens new if you were to take a look at that. So here's some of our themes from the past. We're going to roll as quickly as we can. In 2003, when we first started, it was the theme Growth in Me in 2003. Next year, Giving Christ More in 2004. Following year, Keeping Prayer Alive in 2005. Next year, Healing the Sick in 2006. It's when we distributed oil vials to everybody. Remember that? And said, man, let's just pray for anybody and everything. We had cars that were healed, you name it. It was like, really? Okay. And then we had Handing Out Heaven in 2007. I still have that license plate on my truck. We have Fasting with Faith in 2008. Then the next year, Scripture is Mine in 2009. We made scripture memorization a plus because we had a scripture per week to memorize. Remember, we had Karen Heinbuck here who portrayed Amy Simple McPherson, and she rehearsed the first three chapters of the book of Revelation. That was pretty powerful. We had Equipping the Next Gen in 2010, brought in Sumo Sato from Hawaii, and he helped us to regenerate some of the next gen. Then he planted H2O Church. Eliminating Leaven in 2011. Then we had Serving Christ Well in 2012. Growing in a Team in 2013. We realized, you know what? We're a little bit fragmented here. Let's all bunch together in team in volunteerism. Seeing the Unseen in 2014. Ooh, that was pretty wild. And then we went on multiplying life teams in 2015, and then giving honor and esteem in 2016. That's where we had every holiday, and then some of our service individuals, first responders, we were honoring in every way we could possible. That was really a very God-honoring, because we were honoring others year. God's Kingdom Seen in 2017. God's Love Seen in 2018, Making a Difference in 2019, Oneness of Purpose in 2020, where we launched STN and we said, let's join and merge together for the sake of discipleship. Already One in 2021. So it brings us then to 2022. Can you imagine? Who would have thought we'd have lived this long? Man, let's just go on in there and let's venture. It's going to be great. But before we begin, we're looking here and let's just take our theme this year and just even pray like we normally would for any message. But Lord, thank you. If our eyes see anything, it's going to be because of your doing. And even our dear guests who are here, we're grateful that, Lord, you're going to show them some things. that will really make a big difference in their life this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're looking here, today's message, The Kingdom, Then You in 2022. I'm going to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It's interesting because the theme this year is an integral part of the Bible. It's throughout the Bible. It is the theme of Jesus talking everything about the kingdom. And when we say the kingdom, listen, we're not talking a religion. That's not it. That is not it at all. We're talking about a dimension when God says he's coming on in, he's looking for correcting the order that was lost with Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve, they were to be ones that would bring a real blessing and an abundance to just creation, along with God, that kingdom dynamic and the beautiful element of garden within Eden. There was a garden within Eden. But then, as you know, they opted to go away from God. They opted to do things on their own. That's really what sin is all about, by the way, is that you just decide, hey, I think I know how to operate my life better than God does. But there's something that we start to discover when we start to operate in the way that Jesus wants us to operate. And so I realize that the age that we're living in is an age that's filled with distractions. Have you noticed that? There are so many distractions that are out there that people do not have time to invest in things of God. They really don't feel they have really a need for the things of God. The distractions are out there. You might even want to take a look and say, okay, how do I wake up in the morning besides my coffee or my hot tea? How do I go about doing that? Do I read my emails before I do anything with God? Do I take care of business in general? Do I make my lunch before I even address God? You can imagine here, our theme is, if you will put the kingdom first, then God's going to bring things in your direction that are going to be unbelievably rich. And then we look here for a moment. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. This is our theme verse, and we're going to understand, says Jesus, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Everybody say, above all else. That's pretty much it. It's like top billing. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So you can see here, the kingdom, then you, instead of me, and if I have time, if it might work into my schedule, if things are okay and available, I might show up, God, might give you some time. But we're saying, no, let's reel that puppy in and let's place God first, his kingdom first, and let's take his word at face value. Well, I'll tell you, it's amazing because the kingdom really reigns with elements of his love. It just makes things so easily understood when you start to experience something of God's presence and dimension. It makes life more meaningful. I think that's one of the things I realized, that there's something to this, Jesus, because my identity started to kind of work out. My work started making sense. Even my play, it's just like, man, the kingdom just affects everything, everything. You say, well, what is that kingdom? Well, let me just put it this way. It's in eight simple words. You may want to write it down. We'll play with that a little bit later. But it's God's reign through God's people in God's place. It's pretty much it. God's reign. And it's going to come through God's people in God's place. Now, we know God owns everything. Scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns everything. But there's something of a battle going on with good and evil. And God wants to bring his kingdom dynamic right into your possession in a tremendous way. And as we start to take a look at that, how would we start to take a look? Well, let me just highlight, for many of you who have been with us during the holidays, we were handing and continue to hand out annual Bible readers. This is one of those practical things, even today, we want to encourage you to get going on. This is every chapter in the Bible we're encouraging ourselves to read this year, and you will read through the Bible this year to pick one of these up on your way out and to just kind of do a check mark when you read those three chapters per day. We have a little bit in the New and then some in the poetic books or eventually into the New Testament. If you would consider taking this dimension of reading the Bible before you jump into anything else in the day, let's just see how God would work your day. Let's just see how God would work even that week. Matter of fact, let's see how God would work your year, because the kingdom first, above all else. And then he says, I will give you everything you need. Ooh, man, that's a challenge to me. And therefore, it could really start so easily, you just really crack this book open. And don't just go at it by reason of saying, well, I'll just read and see if there's anything. This is a closed book for people, unless they're not only just born again, but they get a chance to say, Lord, I want to understand what I'm reading. And don't get tripped out what you don't know, but I'll tell you, you will see some things that you say, I think I know what God's saying here. I see what God is saying. But our goal is giving God first priority in your day. Giving him the opportunity, the kingdom. Then let's see what happens to you. A lot of times people are so distracted again, they can't settle down. I'm that way. I'm meticulous in wanting to get something done. I like duty lists. I can see some progress for that day. And I'm thinking there about what I need to get done. I can't concentrate on prayer. There's many times I have to take little notes and scratch down things. Now I find I scratch down things and they're revelatory from God. It's amazing. I settle on in and be a little more relaxed. But Lord, however the outcome is of this morning, I'm giving you the first cut of my day. That's what's so important. It's not even so much what you might get out of it. It's like, God knows your heart, my heart. I'm here. Get in your best lazy chair, and you just go ahead and say, okay, Lord, what do you want to tell me or show me, or what is it that we are to read today? Oh, yeah, Pastor Paul gave us the annual Bible reader. Hot dogs. Know where we're going. The goal, God's going to bring things into your life because you're giving him first place. So you can imagine when Jesus is speaking here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, this is a tremendous portion of the scripture. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's all there. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7, it starts off with one of the very familiar portions of scripture called the Beatitudes. When you were with us there in Israel, we were there at the Mount of Beatitudes. And we are looking at these grassy knolls where they say Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount. And it's beautiful. It's picturesque. There's the Sea of Galilee. And he is speaking. He starts off where he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You can imagine, what's he talking about, poor in spirit? Is that monetarily poor? Well, could be. But he's making reference to those that aren't so stockpiled in their life with stuff. Blessed are the poor who eliminate things that are a disruption or a distraction, because I can pour more of the kingdom inside of that person. Blessed are those that kind of zero things out so I can bring that stuff on in. It's important because when he talked about the kingdom dynamics, he starts to bring in things that were so unique. They didn't anticipate. The crowd was anticipating the kingdom of God coming. It was in Jewish conversations all the time. Who's going to deliver us from Roman tyranny and Roman rule? But Jesus came along and he started speaking in such a way they didn't anticipate this is the way it's going to go and how it's going to come through the cross. But let's look here for a moment, because when Jesus is talking in the Sermon on the Mount, the amazing thing about the scriptures when Jesus is talking kingdom stuff, he started to address things in that portion, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7, about areas like divorce, areas like prayer, areas like revenge, Areas like anger, dealing with swearing of an oath, adultery, murder, giving to the needy. He talked about areas that were so significant. It was so unique and different. People saying, what is happening here? Because they were under what was called the Old Covenant. And every Jew knew they could not keep the Old Covenant. It was a bunch of rules, regulations. But Jesus says, hey, this is the way the kingdom now is going to roll. And it's coming through me. And he said this, and he started dealing with people's worries. So let's look here for a moment. I'm in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. And this is where our theme verse it lands on. Let me read that with you. You can take it. Verse 25 through verse 34 says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Isn't it interesting? Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares for so wonderful for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. It's a good word, is it, for 2022? There's a lot of people that are pretty stressed out what the stock market might look like, what things might entail. They just can't concentrate. We're trying to put the brakes on it and say, let's give God first place in your day and let's see how it rolls out. We've all tried to put ourselves ahead. And remember when we were going through what the Bible does not say? Remember that series? And one was God helps those who help themselves. That is not in the scriptures. He actually helps those who can't help themselves. But there are people that literally say, man, I just got to go out and get it done. God will understand. He knows I just can't. I can't focus. I can't be with him right now. He's going to have to do something in order for me to kind of settle on in and be with him. That is just such a human nature. But God is asking, seek the kingdom above all else. Wow. That's going to need a baptism in the Holy Spirit like our guest testimony gave. I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing that God wants to bring, and that is for you. God's going to bring some tremendous things. It's a distinction about Christians that say God's kingdom, God's first above all else. The new life in the kingdom has so many implications that benefit you. Areas about your relationships and money, emotional health, your finances will flourish, spiritual growth. It's amazing when you finally say, okay, I don't know how God's going to put it together. I know maybe he will. Yeah, maybe he will. Why don't you give him a try? Give him a try. Sample what it is to read the Bible before you go off and do whatever you need to check even emails. And it's amazing because God has a way of working it out. Remember, it's God's reign through God's people. It was lost in the garden. He's wanting to reinstill it, and it's God's place. You could be that catalyst that brings God's kingdom where you work or where you study. It's pretty fascinating to see how God implemented, Jesus addressed the kingdom, and we'll be seeing a lot of that in these weeks ahead, how Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. He's all about that. It was in his teachings within Scripture as you read. How about the sower and the seed, Matthew 13. The tares among the wheat, Matthew 13, 24. Talks the kingdom is like this. People are saying, what is this kingdom? And he tries to equate these heavenly truths using earthly implications. Like, oh, that makes sense. I know how seeds work in this planet. The mustard seed, Matthew 13, 31. The leaven, remember that? Matthew 13 talks about the kingdom and the hidden treasures. The pearl of great price. The net cast into the sea. How God was talking, the kingdom operates in this direction. The laborers in the vineyard, the marriage to the king's son, the kingdom being like this, like, whoa. Jesus is trying to implicate and talk about the kingdom and the dynamics is so important. So much so that after the resurrection, Acts chapter 1 talks about in verse 3, if you were to take a look and write that down, says that Jesus walked around for 40 days after the resurrection. He just didn't come out of the tomb and say, hasta luego. He walked around for 40 days, and the scripture says in Acts 1:13, he talked about the things of the kingdom. The disciples become apostles, and it says even about Paul, when he was put into house arrest for 2 years, the book of Acts ends in Acts 28, 30, and 31, that they let visitors come to Paul, and he said he always talked about the kingdom of God and about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the book ends right there. Boom. So when you and I are taking a look at what it is just to be Christians, we're saying, I'm confident that this year, as you just say, I'm going to make more of the kingdom above all else. King James says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So one of the principles, underlying principles in all of Scripture is that God is first. God is first. That means he's first in rank, first in order, first in degree. You can imagine some people just say, well, I know God's first, but in practicality, it's a little bit different. They just say, well, God's first, but that's when I have time for it. It'd be like me going up to my wife and saying, sweetheart, you are number one. You're number one in my life. Oh, thank you, Paul. You're just so great. Yeah, I know. But number two is that cute little cashier down the way. Number three is that young lady in my neighborhood. But sweetie, don't get mad at me. You're number one. Do you think that she would like that a bit? No way. I'd be throttled and be looking for another home. Sometimes we do that with God. God, you're number one. But in practicality, he's vying for a lot of attention and trying to work through a lot of other affections we have. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what he's wanting us to pursue this year. What's in it for me? That's why the kingdom, then you. Let's put him first. Let's see what he's going to do. I love it when Jesus talked with Nicodemus, the religious leader. He was very churchy, had the garb to go with it. And he said, hey, Nick at night, you need to be born again. He said, how does that happen? Because I'm an old man. He says, you've got to be born again of the Spirit. Then he said in John 3:3, except a man become born again, he will not enter or see the kingdom of God. That's really something for you and me. That kingdom is wide open. If you're born again, it is wide open. God rules from above. He's looking to bring that kingdom reign through you. Through you. And he doesn't want you to become a pauper or a beggar or a milquetoast Christian or a weak-minded individual. He wants his kingdom to be in power, power. But it's not going to be on your own strategy or strength, because that just defeats the purpose. Who's going to get all the glory and victory pose on that? It's got to be all Jesus. It's got to be Jesus. So all we're asking today is you get a Bible reader and you read your three chapters a day. I remember as a very young Christian, I was going to really Pasadena City College, trying to get my business and degree going on there, and I was struggling with a lot of things, and my brother Bob gave me a Good News for Modern Man Bible that looked like a newspaper print. I thought, he said, Paul, you just need to read it. I can't help you. You just read it. Ask God to help. So I told the Lord, I'm going to read 5 chapters before I do my homework. It was kind of like, if you can help me pull some of these things together, Lord, I will put you first. That was totally of the Spirit. I don't know how I got to that point. And there was times I was so tired. I knew I needed to do my homework because I had work the next day plus class. But I would read the Bible. And I, to this day, I'm so grateful. And I understand now I get the privilege of sharing the Bible. But the other thing was, God just says, Paul, you need to memorize doses of my word. Because I had such a gross imagination, very wrong thoughts. And the only way is drive it out with the word. But it's amazing how God helps us when we put him first. All I'm asking, let's step it out, see what this year is going to be. I can hardly wait. The testimonies will be, man, I've given these things to the Lord. Lori's testimony was, I've had miracles in my life this year. Incredible. I believe that. You have those same stories. Sometimes we move from problematic to disappointments to upheavals, and we forget the victories of the past. Just put them first again. You watch. Every challenge becomes an opportunity for a miracle. Every miracle in the Bible always followed a big-time catastrophe or ailment. That's the beauty. So if you're facing whatever you're facing, that means you're a candidate for a big-time miracle. Just don't give up. Watch what God's going to be doing. So this week, let's get our Bible reader going. Next week when we're together, we're going to be taking a look at the Lord's Prayer. We're going to be just taking a look at prayer because our church is going to be joining Foursquare in the 21 days of prayer and fasting starting on Monday, January 10th. If you received my newsletter, electronic mailouts, this morning even had the link where you could sign up to receive daily prayer requests from Foursquare. And there's a lot on there. You will dig it. There's great information, how to even do a fast, what it is to kind of go into prayer. But just sign up so they can give you the prayer points we can follow. How is Ainsley and I going to fast? We're going to do what's intermittent fasting. There's a variety of ways we've done, from the Daniel fast to straight fast to no sugar fast. That's a tough one. But anyway, it's all about first things above all else, the kingdom. Because I want so much for each of you. And I believe it's going to come when you put the kingdom first. God will provide what you really need. It's his word. He promises that. I'm putting his reputation on the line. But we have to go ahead and say, Lord, I'm going to give you first things in the morning. You can do this, and you're going to have a great year. It's going to be a fantastic year. Well, that's our theme. I'm excited. You and I are in it together, and it begins right now today. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.